So that's where we are with that particular case at the moment. But I point out, if I had just gone as a family law attorney and said, okay, this is a straightforward either adjustment of status or consular processing case, I wouldn't have discovered it. Now, in 9 times out of 10, you're not going to find any citizen, but it's that 10th person, okay? This is an important tool that you have in your toolbox, okay? Because every person that you can help in a different way is one person additionally helped, okay? All right, so then the question is, how do you, so the second step, analyzing, excuse me. Again, I warned you, I'm at 6:30 time. Okay, so where do you go to find things? Okay, the first step, generally speaking, is you're going to look at the citizenship charts. Now, I'm going to give a shout out to the ILRC. If you go on their website and you look at their citizenship charts, I like them, okay, because it has different columns. It says date of birth of the child, law that applies, retention requirements, things of that sort. There are other charts that are out there as well that are not quite as specific. So you can use anyone. USCIS has them. Kurzban has them in the back of the book. Many, many locations have them. If you look at, if you just do an online search for citizenship charts, you will find these different charts, okay? So you look at the date of birth of the child, you look at the requirements. Note that there are differences between if one parent is a U.S. citizen versus two parents being a U.S. citizen, okay? So you get that kind of general information. Now, I will tell you in general, kind of going back to the asking the question, a lot of times people will say, but this doesn't apply, but this doesn't apply, but I can't prove it. You want the information. Then you want to do the analysis to see, is it worthwhile to see if you can gather the documentation, okay? So you look at all of that. You also want to look at different things to see, has the law changed? Okay, I'll give you my very favorite example. Has anybody heard of a gentleman called Winston Churchill? Okay, Winston Churchill, of course, was the Prime Minister of England, very famous guy. We shall not surrender, all that other good stuff. What many people do not know is that his mother was an American. She was born in the United States in the 1860s, and she went to England, and she married Winston's father. And under the law at that time, if you were a woman and you married a foreign man, you lost your citizenship, okay? So if there's anybody who's Downton Abbey fans out there, this is Lady Cora, same thing. She was born in the U.S. and married Lord Grantham and all that other good stuff. But in 1994, Congress said, this is not fair, and we are going to retroactively change the law, and we are going to say any woman who lost her citizenship on this basis, we are going to deem as though she has never lost it. And we are going to say that mothers can transmit on equal footing with fathers, okay? So retroactively, Winston Churchill became a U.S. citizen because he had a mother who was a U.S. citizen who retroactively in 1994, after Sir Winston passed away, was able to transmit citizenship to him. Now, why would that be of interest? Well, guess what? Winston Churchill married his wife before 1920, I believe. And the law at the time said, before 1922, if a foreign woman married a U.S. citizen man, she became a U.S. citizen. Okay? So all of Sir Winston's children are U.S. citizens. Why? Because they had two U.S. citizen parents, one with prior residence. Where's the prior residence? Well, Sir Winston had some bad times in the U.K., so he went to the U.S. and he traveled around, and that's well documented. He wrote some articles for the London Times, or the Times of London, whatever the name of it is. So all of his children became U.S. citizens. Now, this is a famous example. All of his children have passed away. There's a possibility that some of his grandchildren have citizenship. Not that they're particularly interested, or at least none of them have contacted me to see about proving it. But I give it again as an example. So you want to look at the laws. Sometimes I've had people come to me and they say, yeah, I asked about it and I found out that I wasn't a citizen, when something can change. Another common example, before the 1960s, you could lose citizenship automatically if you voted in a foreign election, if you served in a foreign military, if you accepted certain government positions. There was even a provision that said if you returned to your home country within 5 years, you were deemed to have gotten your naturalization within 5 years of naturalizing as a U.S. citizen, you were deemed to have gotten your naturalization by fraud, and they would revoke your citizenship.